side of the cup. Right there, since Jesus came into my heart. Stand, sing 1, 2, and 5 as we stand. Tragedy that took place. I know that you've seen it on the news, things like that. I think it's interesting, I don't know if that's a good word to use, that it is in the same region or area as Columbine. And there's something about Colorado. I don't know what it is. There's how do you say it? There's people that have needs out there. That's a nice way to put it. So let's pray for the families that are involved. God may give grace and strength. And I understand that this young man is still alive and he needs help. He needs Jesus most of all. So let's pray for those needs there. Okay? Anyone else? All right. You have an unspoken request, let it be known by a raised hand. God knows all about those. Thank God he does. Brother Bill, you need some prayer. sing for the choir.
Thank you.
take our red books and turn to hymn number 63. Take the name of Jesus with you. This will be our fellowship song. We'll sing the first and the second. Come back on the last. Number 63 as we stand and sing. This morning. Last verse. Thank you.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every need He is supplying, plenteous grace He bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
All right, thank you, Miss Teresa. Good job. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 18, please. Genesis 18. Still looking at the life of Abraham. Last time we were in this chapter, Abraham had a meeting with some men. These were not ordinary men, these were angels. And we talked about the message. The angels came for two reasons. Number one, the first reason was Sarah. The second reason we're going to look at today concerned the Sodomites. Reason number one for their visit was to say to Sarah, you will indeed have a child. In 1 year, you are going to have a child. And we talked about how naturalism versus supernaturalism was conveyed. Naturalism was characterized by the statement, Sarah laughed. Supernaturalism was exhibited by the phrase, Abraham believed. Today we're going to look at verse 16, read to the end of the chapter, and we're going to see some very important things, because once the message has been delivered to Sarah, now they're going to direct their attention towards Sodom. Verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. That phrase in the Bible is pretty familiar. You remember that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Here it says, there in verse 16, they looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation? All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now. This is God speaking. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according. according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men, and these are angels, if you're not aware of that so far, these are angels coming in the guise of men. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I'll not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure shall 30 be found there. And he said, I'll not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, peradventure 20. And he said, I want to not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I'll not destroy it for 10's sake. And I like the wording of verse 33. It's fascinating to me. And the Lord went his way. When in the world did the Lord ever go his way? He doesn't have to. He's God. He's everywhere. But I like the phrase, and the Lord went his way. And as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Now, Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and help us today as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We have here a great story, and it's the story of the possibility of the salvation of a nation. That there is a wicked city, Sodom and Gomorrah. As some have rightly said, and you've heard it said by many, that if God does not bring judgment to the United States of America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe that. I look at the things that are going on in our nation today, and I'm amazed that God hasn't shut us down yet. I marvel that we're doing as well as we are. They're talking about now how that corn in the Midwest is being destroyed by heat, drought, and it's forcing the price of corn up. That was a threat against rice about a year ago. I don't think that ever became what they thought it was going to be. But now they're saying that rice, that the corn is in terrible danger of being risen in their prices. You understand that some gas, petroleum things, companies, chemicals, whatever, some of them use corn in their making of fuel. Ethanol and some of those types of things. So I don't know how all that's going to go. I know that when we were coming back from Florida this past week that we stopped off at a farmer's market, a large farmer's market in PD, South Carolina. I never saw so much expensive stuff in my life. A pound of okra was $3. And they had all kinds of things, just unbelievable. Expensive everything was. And it's not going to get any better. God's trying to teach and tell somebody something, and somebody's not listening. And God has shown in recent weeks what he can do if he wants to do it. Whether he's got fires in the Midwest, whether he's got flooding in certain areas of the country, whether he's got storms that are coming through and destroying homes, he can do what he wants to do. He can do that. Why? Because there's so many things. There are people, we're looking, and I'm just kind of throwing these things at him. You know what I'm talking about. We have our school systems that will not allow people to pray, will not allow people to have Bible studies, and all of these things. And they're trying to take the Pledge of Allegiance and remove under God out of that and make that legal. And on down the line, it's a tragedy. There needs to be something done. I have found, however, if you found also, that you can write letters all day long. You get stuff, I know you do, on the internet and your Facebook and whatever else. And it says, go and write your congressman. And write this person. And write that person. And all of those things. And those things are there. And you know what? You can do that all day long. And guess what? It's not. It's like barking up a tree. Because they want to do their thing. And they're not going to listen to us. Someone has said, rightly so, that we can wager our war with ballots instead of bullets. And that's what we ought to do. But there are so many people that do not want to vote. They don't even try to vote. They'll complain. They'll fuss. They'll gripe. But they're not going to vote. And they ought to vote. That's very important to do so. So these are some of the things. So the roots of what we're seeing goes all the way back here into chapter 18, where you see sodomy, homosexuality, so powerful. I saw this or read this or something, and you might have too, just to again throw this out. Did you see where Office Depot is a sponsor? Going into the public schools and teaching children that you can be a homosexual, you are born a homosexual, and it's okay to be a homosexual, and Office Depot is helping to fund, and I forgot the name of the thing, but I mean, it's like, this is wrong. And that's just another company that needs to learn, hey, you don't promote sin. Don't know if you know, you've seen the commercials for JCPenney and how they've got, as Dr. Jerry Falwell used to call her, Ellen DeGeneres, as the spokesperson. I read where their stock is going down the tubes. People need to take a stand, don't they? But what else can we do? Let's look at some things. I want to share with you some things here that the Lord has laid upon my heart about Abraham. And Abraham has the same alternatives that you and I have on some things. What I want to do is I'm going to get down here today and I'm going to preach down here because I want to share with you some things on my heart that you need to look at as Christians. Okay? Now, I want to deal with three questions in this that's dealt with in this chapter. Number one, what did Abraham have to offer Sodom? So, what do you mean offer Sodom? Well, there must have been a reason, don't you reckon? There had to be a reason those angels came, first of all, to see Sarah, but then comments to Abraham about the sin of Sodom. There must be a reason. There must be a reason why you and I look around and see sin like we do all around. Now, the question is, what do we do? I'm totally helpless. I can't do anything. Truly, that's true. You and I individually can't do much other than what I said. This is vote, that's a vote, sign a petition. That doesn't always do good. But what is it that Abraham had to offer Sodom and Sodom? The answer is very simple. Got a question. Let's bring this to where we are. What do we have? Number one is Christians. Number two, what do we have as a church to offer? Let's talk about, let's get real for a little while today. What does Faith Baptist Church have to offer? Now, people today have a different idea of what they want from church. They'll come in, and I can tell you right off the bat, you've heard it too. They'll say, what do you have for young people?
her one of the first things they'll ever ask. What do you have? Now, what do they mean? What do you have? Let's talk about. Let's break it into two categories, children. What do you have for children? Well, number one, we have the word God. But if they're talking about programs, if they're talking about doing things like fun activities, entertainment, going to Carowinds, doing parties, we don't have those. We're trying to build something for our children, for our young people, but we're not there yet. But we don't have what they need for their children. All right, what about teenagers? Well, come in, what you got for teenagers? Well, okay, we don't have rock and roll. And we don't have, classes where, they come in and they have different types of activities and that appeals to young teenagers today. We have that. We want to have things that are good for them as far as young people are concerned, but we just don't have it yet. What do we have in the area of music? We have good music programs. Rock and roll music, things like that. They want that. And we don't have that. We're not involved. But they want a certain thing of music. So, check that off. Well, what about the preacher? What kind of message does the preacher bring? Oh, the preacher preaches out of a huge amplifier. Man, I don't use a amplifier. I like New Living Translation. I like the Living Bible paraphrase. And what they've done is when they come in, they've got their checklist. And if a church does not meet the checklist, then they don't come. They go someplace where they can receive whatever they're looking for, and they'll find it. Christianity today has become like burgers. Have it your own way. Okay. That's exactly where we are. Now, I've been negative and I told you what we don't have, what do we have? We have first and foremost proclamation, preaching, and the word of God. That has been a staple of the Baptist Church since its inception. The word of God has been held unapologetically. And if people want the preeminence of the preaching of the gospel, then they can do it. But, is there anything else? What did Abraham have of Sodom? Think about this. A couple of months ago, I preached about how that he had a small army of warriors. And when Lot was besieged, several nations came together. Here came Abraham leading his warriors, and they won the battle, and they got Lot out of that mess. But did you know that there are some times where physical anything won't work? Sometimes you just can't get hold of somebody. You know you want to. It's like you want to just grab somebody and say, "Will you wake up? Will you do this? What's wrong with you?" So. But anyway, let's see. Some people won't do that. Sometimes you can't. And what do we have to offer? Ring gold, Pennsylvania County. We pray. But wait a minute. What kind of prayer? Let's go to the second question. First question, what did Abraham have to offer Sodom? Question number two, was Abraham's offering sufficient? What do I mean by offering? Offering prayer. Was his prayer sufficient? Look at verses 22 and 23. And the men, the angels, turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. Now look at this phrase, but Abraham stood yet for the Lord. Let's talk about what kind of praise the Lord prays. You just pray, is that enough? Just enough to pray? Here's another question. Do we as Christians know how to pray? Oh, everybody knows how to pray. No, not everybody knows how to pray. Because what he is going to do is he's not going to just deal with prayer. He's going to deal with intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is a whole lot different than regular prayer. Because intercessory prayer is when you've got to get hold of heaven. Look at that phrase again. But Abraham stood yet before the congregation. Before the Lord. Now let's start getting into some deep waters for a minute. Have you learned yet how to stand before the Lord in prayer? He is going to stand between God and Sodom and Gomorrah. That's intercession. That's a whole different type of praying than what most of us are used to. Intercessory prayer is when you are going to get hold to heaven. You're going to pray and you're going to cry. And just like I spoke Wednesday night on our devotional time, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, why do you call? You call because there's distress. You call because in this case, Sodom and Gomorrah is going to get it. Should that concern him? Yes, it should concern him for two reasons. He's got family in there, and there are people in there lost and going to go to hell. So he ought to be concerned. And I just like that phrase, Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And look at verse 23, and Abraham drew near. He was standing between God and Sodom. Ezekiel said this, that God was looking for a man to stand in the gap. And I ask you a question, are you willing to become a gap stand. He said, well, preacher, I tried to be in the pastor. And I said, oh. Are you willing to stand before the Lord? That ain't easy. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's not easy. Because, and one thing, when you get this kind of praying, here's what you've got to do. You've got to become specific in it. People pray something like this. They'll say, Lord, bless all of you. Now, would you excuse me if I tell you that's not the dumbest prayer? Because it's impossible. God cannot bless all the missionaries because there's some missionaries that are not blessable. I've heard stories of missionaries that have gone to the field and they have corrupted their accounts and taken money, and they're still on the mission field and they're still siphoning money out of churches back home. Okay, bless the field. There are some missionaries that teach false doctrine, and their churches do not know anything about it. Some of you remember the missionary, and I don't say this to be, I'm not trying to be ugly or rude, but I think there was not a clarification on somebody's part, but we had the missionary, I forgot the brother's name, in which all these years he's been on the mission field using the New King James Bible. And every church has policies. This church has a policy about it. Well, you know what? I don't know if he purposely meant not to reveal that, but you remember when he came out of the church, sending a letter telling him to support. All right, for whatever reason, see, he wasn't on the same page. I'm not saying he meant to be dishonest. It would have been a very slight oversight. I would not accuse anybody of that. But what I'm trying to say is there are some situations that you pray for certain situations or certain needs. And you know what? Some people say, bless all the missionaries. And bless all the missionaries. There's a missionary recently came off the field. He said his pastor wrote letters to some of the churches and said, so-and-so is coming back to the field. He hasn't done anything immoral, but he's away from the Lord. He's come back. Pray for him. But the question comes, what was so grievous that it wasn't adultery or immorality? Why did he come back? You can't make a blanket statement and say, God bless all the missionaries. But God bless, and then you begin the stars. Missionaries tell that to God. They have been in accidents. Their health is bad. God, touch and heal these dear missionaries and raise them up and bring them back to the field. That specific prayer. If you say bless all the missionaries, what does it mean to bless all the missionaries? What does it mean? The word bless or blessed, you know what it really means? It means happy. There's a lot of things you do for God, you ain't going to be happy. Men and women in armed services, they're serving our country. They're protecting us. They're giving their lives for our freedom. But I can guarantee you there's a lot of stuff they don't understand or be able to control. And there's a lot of things that we ought to be doing for God. We're not doing it because just leaves. And Abraham drew near. We need to be specific in our prayers. Now, number one, first question I asked was, what did Abraham have to offer Sodom? Answer, prayer. Number two, was Abraham's offering sufficient? Yes, because it was intercessory prayer. Notice what he starts praying for. He comes before the Lord and the spirit of humility. He said, peradventure, verse 24, peradventure, if you be righteous within the city, would you spare the city from me? Then he's, again, so humble. He said, verse 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. In verse 25, the righteous should be as the wicked, as far from thee shall the judge of all the earth do right. He's taking God and his character, God and his word, his reasoning correctly. Then he said in verse 26, if I find the Sodom give the righteousness in the city, then I will spare them. And then he drops down to five. He said, Lord, forgive me. I come unto you, Lord. I am a dust of ashes. I ask you a question, Lord. If you take away five, will you spare the city from 45? And the Lord said, yes, I will. I'll not destroy it from 45. And he said, verse 29, he said, well, now, peradventure, Lord, what about the 40? Just drop the five. What about the 40? Would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? 40 people, he said, 40. And verse 30, he said, don't be angry, please, in the Lord. And what are you going to say when somebody comes before God with such a contrite spirit? He said, please don't be mad at the Lord. And I ask you yet again, let me drop down to 30. Would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? And you know, the Lord seemed like the Lord might say, well, why don't you just be quiet? I'm tired of this. I told you what I was going to do. God never says that. Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure 20. And God said, I'm so sick and tired of you, Abraham. Why don't you be quiet and stop? And I've said what I'm going to say and leave me alone. You're bugging me here. Say that. He said, I'll spare you. Now, if you think that by now Abraham should have learned his lesson, in a way he had. Because what does he say? Verse 32, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet for this once. This last time I'm going to say, Lord, you can offer good thing. Let me speak for peace to you. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. He said, I'll not destroy you. He said, See, that's specificity in prayer. That's getting down to business. That's talking brass tacks and talk. That's intercessory. Some people do not do intercessory prayer because they're afraid of honesty. That's why people say bless the mission. Because that sounds good. And God surely can't get upset with that. You know what I think makes God upset? If God does get upset, because obviously he must have some type of feelings like that. I think that what makes the Lord upset is if you don't pray on this. He has come before God. Is his intercessory prayer sufficient? Yes. Third question. Is Abraham's offering of prayer necessary? Is it necessary? I would say yes, for several reasons. Reason number one, he was praying for the salvation of a nation. Praying for the salvation of a nation. What do you pray for? Now, I want you to understand, I don't want you to take this incorrectly, but I want you to compare apples and oranges. Every time people get together and have prayer requests, what are the majority of prayer requests all about? Be right off the bat, sickness. My Bible tells me, fear not him that is able to destroy the body, but fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body. You know how many people are healthy? They get out, run, and they're athletic, and they do all that. We were, I don't know where we were the other day, but anyway, we're looking, there's this bicycle, this guy's riding the bicycle, and we had to go around him on the road. And I turned around and looked, and this man had 7 years. He was pumping out of the bicycle, going up the hill. I mean, you'd have never looked, you'd have never seen the white hair. Was in his spaceship. I never thought that would be. So he was going to town. I mean, he was just doing it. And you know what? And you see people like that, and they're in great health. And they live to be in their 70s and 80s. And it's like, and then there's other people that don't do health-wise. And so we look at that and we pray about those things. And we should pray about those things. But what's going to happen if that man rides that bicycle and then all of a sudden he has a heart attack and he falls over and he dies and he goes to hell with a healthy body? Because there's nothing in the Bible that talks about your soul having arthritis. There's anything about your soul having a heart attack. When he came to pray, he wasn't praying, "Oh God, Uncle Herman has the gout." He's praying, "God, I want to see that nation as evil and wicked as they are. I want to see them stable. I want them to be saved. I do not want them to see destruction, because if they have destruction, they're going to bust hell wide open." Dr. Oliver Green would say, pray. Souls, get this. Pray for the souls' perverts. Cut it any way you want to. Sodomy, homosexuality, gays. I appreciate the Boy Scouts. If you haven't seen that on the news, the Boy Scouts have taken a stand. They will not allow open gays to be leaders. I don't think the Girl Scouts are taking that stand. The Girl Scouts are okay. They said they're okay with the lesbians. But the Boy Scouts said we're not going to have. And I heard on the radio a young man that said that he was a Boy Scout, that his scout master brought him into his tent out in the woods. Then he said, "I tried to go to my daddy, tell my daddy to get me out because of that reason. Daddy didn't believe me. Hey, you know what Abraham did? Prayed. Intercessory prayer. Sometimes we think that prayer is a game. We should pray for salvation of souls. We should pray seriously. When we get down to pray, when we pray at the altar, when we pray at the bench, when we pray in our homes, we need to pray seriously. We need to mean business when it comes time to pray. We just don't pray, "Oh Lord, I want to thank you for this week that you bless us with my hand. And I appreciate the good things that you've done. Thank you, Lord, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Amen." You know how many people, that's exactly the way they pray. People don't pray more than probably a minute if they do that long. That's the average prayer of the average person. We need to pray seriously. This man is praying seriously. He is praying. He has one thing and one thing only to give that wicked land, that wicked nation. That's prayer. He's not going to pray. I'm going to pray. God, I'm serious, God. Will you do it for 50? God, will you do it for 45? God, will you do it for 40? God, will you do it for 30? God, will you do it for 10? Serious prayer. Peradventure, Lord, do not be angry with your servant who am nothing but dust. But Lord, would you? Boy, howdy, that's. Whew, that'll give you Holy Ghost goosebumps. Because that man is getting. What was that statement back up in verse number 20? But Abraham stood yet before the king. Serious prayer. Then it must be spiritual prayer. Because we are not praying. Like some people pray, they say, "Now, God, I need a car. God, I've been clipping coupons, Lord, and I got this outfit that I want to go down to the store and buy. So, Lord, I want you to give me." And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but I don't consider that serious prayer. Serious praying is when you've got loved ones that are dying and going to hell. They could go out into eternity any minute. We need to pray. Serious prayer. A lot of things we pray about that just absolutely are so frivolous. And then it ought to be prayer that's sacrificial. What do I mean by that? I mean, when we pray, are we able to pray? Now, would you do this for me? Would you turn over to James? Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Question. When I come in the presence of God, when I stand before the Lord like Abraham did, you know what must be done? I must have my sins. You can't stand before the Lord in a dirty vessel. You can't stand before the Lord unconfessed sin in your heart, because my Bible says He will not forgive. You know how easy it is to have an unclean vessel? Have you ever been to a restaurant? Isn't it the most aggravating thing? And I know people are people, but you go to a restaurant and you get a glass or you get silverware. Lots of times it's silverware, and there'll be some food on that silverware. And you tell them, and then, I don't know about you, when I see something like that, I automatically go, my lip curls, because I'm like, and so tell the waitress, I'm sorry, and they take it. Have you ever gotten a drink and something's wrong? I'll give you a drink. You go, what? Several years ago, one of my teachers, stopped off at the Olive Garden. We're sitting at the Olive Garden, great kitchen, like that. All of a sudden, plop, right in my food is a cockroach. And I mean, you know, I don't mind extra protein, but at that time I wasn't real happy with that. And you know, I got the waiter over, he got the manager, and I said, I'm sorry, we shut down for a day because we did spray. We had a, you know, gentleman coming in and all this stuff. And what happened was right up above where we were sitting were plastic bugs. I guess it stirred those bugs up. This one did not die. Drowned. Italian food. But, you know, that is, you know, that's something that, that bugs you, freaks you out, that type of thing. It doesn't take much to attempt. God is not going to mess up. Confess your sin. To whom? Not to a man. To God. Because when you're getting ready and you're going to do warfare on your knees, pray, you've got to be clean. Because you know what? You're doing serious praying, intercessory prayer. You are praying for souls, and you've got to make sure that your sins are confessed. Hang on. Confessed and forsaken. That's what you require. I wish we had a lot of the things that people would love for us to have. But those things that I discussed earlier are not things that should ever take precedence over the two most important things any church offers. Number one is the preaching, proclamation. Always be hot pressing. But number two, right there with you, is prayer. We are in warfare, and we need to pray. And we need to pray desperately. And we need to pray hard. And we need to pray with every fiber. Because what did he say in James? After he said, confess your sins, then he said this, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There are people all over bring them to the dying going to heaven. How much? They have heard the gospel. If you're like me, everybody I ever talked to is Christian. Everybody's Christian. Now you know what that means. That doesn't mean anything. They think that we're Christians because we're not evil. But what are we going to do as a church? Sitting here on the highway, facing traffic, no telling how many, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people bypass this church every single solitary day. And they're going to hell. What are we going to do about it? You say, preacher, we can't do anything. We're too small. No, we may not be able to have a big bus, carry people off, have projects, do all of that, and we may not have thousands of dollars in the bank whereby we can go out and help build churches in mission aid in foreign lands. We don't have that. But there is something we do have. We do have prayer. Everybody in here can pray. And if there's going to be anything that's going to change the community, and if there's anything that's going to make Faith Baptist Church what God wants it to be, it's going to be prayer. And not just praying, but intercessory prayer. And not just intercessory prayer, but serious intercessory prayer. Serious intercessory prayer for the salvation of people. Now, we're going to close. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask every person in here to give me one name of somebody that you know that's either lost or out of the will of God. One name. Okay? You say, preacher, that's embarrassing. No, it's not, because if they're going to die and go to hell, we need to pray for them. Hear me? We need the church of Jesus Christ needs to quit messing around. We are so busy with our entertainment, making everybody feel good. You know what? We need to make people feel bad. It's called conviction of sin. We need to pray them in, pray them safe. We've had people that have come into this church. I've watched them during the invitation, and I've seen them under conviction so much so they couldn't wait to get out the door. Seen it, spotted it, prayed for it. Have them come back. It's the time to come back to get a conviction. I want people to come and enjoy being in our church. I want them to enjoy the choir and the special music and the preaching. But I do not want to sacrifice all of that for the souls of men in the fact that they will not respond to Jesus in this. Hear what I'm saying? Quick. One name or a couple of names. Sister, brother-in-law, Baron, Cindy, Britt. Somebody. Okay. Somebody lost. Somebody lost or out of the will of God. Thank you.
Come down in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit on this day.
take our shoes off. We sit on this and we're in the presence of the Lord. We're on holy ground. Understand something. The Lord brought me here 3 years ago. I've only had one desire in my heart, whether you believe it or not. That desire was compound. It was to help this church go through a difficult time of transition. It's been hard. Under that same principle, to carry on the work I know that Brother Kruby would want, and that is to try to win people to Jesus. I have no other reason to be here. That I don't mean that to sound cruel or nothing. I'm not doing a search. I'm just saying that's why I'm here. And I just believe that God can do something. I believe it. But you know where it starts? It's going to start with us. We've got to get serious about our praying, and God can do something, and God will do something if we do what we're supposed to do. Confess our sin, be right with God, be right one with another, cry to God, pray specifically for people, pray for salvation, people who are lost, going to hell. I'll be preaching in the second chapter of the book of Acts on Pentecost. I've asked Brother Bill and Miss Donna, they're going to put a banner up pretty soon called Pentecost equals Plentecost. That's not tongue speaking. That's not the emphasis of Pentecost. The emphasis of Pentecost were souls that got saved. 3,000 people got saved because of an upper room prayer meeting. That's the emphasis of Pentecost. Tongues is all tongues were was just a foreign language. That's all that was. It wasn't some heavenly gibberish. I say that in deference to my dear Pentecostal and charismatic friends, but that's not the purpose of that thing. That purpose, those tongues were used to speak the Word of God, and 3,000 people from nationalities all over the world got saved. Now, God can do that with 120 people in an upper room. Can't God do it with a congregation like this? We pay the price. If we understand that Pentecost is Plentecost, if we understand it's going to take some time on our knees, if we understand that we're going to have to just come to the place sometimes where we're just going to have, and we're going to meet, and we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for souls, and we're going to pray, God, give me a broken heart for souls. You can see something happen. Why? Because the Bible says it. I see no time limit on prayer. We haven't tapped it yet. We need to pray, and I'm praying that God will raise up our church as an intercessory church. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need to intercede on behalf of people. Call them out. Eventually we're going to make a prayer list, and we're going to put people that you want to see saved or some special need. Don't misunderstand me. We're not necessarily going to put on that prayer list people who have physical illnesses. We pray for those. I'm talking about people who are lost and going to hell, or people who are say they're saved and they're not in the will of God. We're going to fix up a prayer list and put it out, and you can have it, and have it so that you can take it home. Have your devotional time, you can get that out and pray for so many of those people at a time. And it doesn't matter if you don't know who they are, because God knows. That's all that matters. God knows. You say, well, who is this person? I don't know. It doesn't matter. God knows. And He'll take care of it. But do you see through the life of Abraham? Intercessory prayer. Stood before the Lord. gentlemen who come and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings for us. While they're coming, some things I need to take care of. One is a letter I want to read to you that Brother Julius said came in the mail this week. If you'll listen, please. This is from Pastor Vince Button of the First Baptist Church of Pinch in Elkview. I guess that's West Virginia. Said, "Dear Sister Church, the name is Vince Button, pastor of First Baptist Church of Pinch, West Virginia. We are the sending church for Brother Dave McElwain, missionary to Alaska. Brother Dave has resigned as a missionary, and you should receive a letter from him with explanation. I have sent you back your last support check," so I've got that to give to you, Ms. Irma. Dave said that his son will be pastor of the church that he has started, and if you would pray about support for this young man, I know it's needed. Christ, Pastor Vince Buttons." So we get a letter. Why Brother McElwain has returned from the field. This is from his pastor, so we are moving him from our missionary budget. Okay. A week from this Monday, I was scheduled to do a vacation Bible school for Pastor Clint Connor. Brother Connor, or some of you that has followed the situation on Facebook, their son has been very sick. They have said that he has Crohn's disease. The doctor there in Roanoke said this was the youngest case of Crohn's disease they'd ever seen. He is, I think, 4 years old, I think. And they just had a lot of stress on him, and he contacted me, and he said, "Brother Morton said that he was just not going to be able to do Bible school." So we will not be in Bible school that week. However, in the same day, I did get a call from church in over in Martinsville called Grassy Creek Baptist. They want to do basically a one-night VBS. They want to do it this Wednesday night. So it's kind of like flip-flopping Wednesday nights. So we'll be there this Wednesday night for that. And I've asked Brother Julius to bring a devotional at prayer time on this Wednesday. So please pray that we'll have a good service there. It's one-night Bible school that they're doing. So keep that in mind, please. Also, we received a card. It says, "May God be your comfort in sorrow and your hope and strength in coming days, praying for you with sympathy." It says, "Please accept as a memorial donation for Mr. Ozzy Taylor. Thank you, Shane and Kathy Connor." So, share that with you. Appreciate these folks sharing in memory of Brother Taylor. It's awful. And it was offered $100. So that was awesome. All right. Let's see. Prayer, anything else that I'm missing? Bible school, 25th of August. We'll talk about that more. Keep that in mind. Put that on the calendar. There's already a little promotion going on, so we'll try to get some flyers out about that. I think we'll set back to school, kids Bible class. School already started. Okay. Brother Julius, do some prayer. Practice.